Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvochim Daf Mem. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will be opening with the top line of Daf Mem Omer Aleph. On the top line, you will see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a double star with an indication to look at Lamed Tes Omer Aleph. So if you glance back at Lamed Tes Omer Aleph and find a corresponding double star, also to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, you will notice such a marking, two lines from the bottom, with a little mem, omed aleph indicator, that indicates the connection between these two notations. On that line, on lamed tes omed aleph, we find ourselves in the middle of a Tanaic source that opened up with a posuk from the case, from the example of a par helam dover shel tzibur. It's a type of sacrifice, a korban chatos, a sin offering, that's brought in the event that the Sanhedrin HaGodol, the high court, errs in their legal ruling, and the tzibur, robe of the tzibur, follows thereby. They eventually, when their mistake is found, they bring a par, and it's known as the par, a cow, par helam dover shel tzibur. This sin offering has its zrikos adam done inside the hechal. It's known as one of the chatois hapnimios, inside or internal sin offerings. The blood sprinkling of this type of sacrifice is, as we mentioned, done in the hechal, and its blood is sprinkled on the poroches, the curtain that separates the hechal from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the area that contained the Oron, the Holy Ark, with the Ten Commandments in it, the Oron HaBris. And in addition to the Zrikas Adam that are done on the Poroches, the seven, they number seven blood sprinklings, there is also four additional blood applications to the golden altar, the Mizbeach HaZov, that was in the Heichal. We have been taught, the Mishnah that we saw, the Mishnah teaches that when it comes to a Chatas HaPnimi, all of the applications are binding. This you can see in the first Mishnah that opened up this perek. That was back on Daf Lamed Vav Omid Beis. The Mishnah itself had said that Kol HaNitin Al Mizbeach HaPnimi Shim Chiser Achas Min HaMatonos Lo Kiper. So if one misses any one of the applications, he does not achieve the desired atonement. In the discussion that immediately follows, we will be making reference to the seven Zrikos Adam on the Poroches and the four blood applications on the Mizbeach HaZov. The Gemara opens up at the top of Mem Omer Aleph, Omar Mar. This is a quote from the source over there, Ein Li Elo Matan Sheva Shem Akvis B'chol Mokom. I would know if only the first, the most obvious case of blood applications, that if you miss any one of them, it would cause the process to be void, and you would not receive kapar. That is so with regard to the seven applications on the seven sprinklings on the curtain, on the paroches, because those applications are ma'akev b'chol mokom, that in other cases, in other examples, we find those matnos dam ma'akev. So the Gemara asks, where are those other places? Hecha, what are those other places that we see the matn sheva being ma'akev? Omar af papa, b'pora u'b'negoyim. Rashi explains at the top line, b'pora, v'hizo el nochach p'nei oyol moyeh. Because of chukah li kuva, in the case of the Pora Aduma, There is a requirement of seven sprinklings that are done in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. And it says in that context, the word chukah, which indicates something that's binding. And negoyim, Rashi says, belug shemen shel metzora, regarding the sprinklings of oil, in the case of a metzora that is has completed his tumah period, so he brings different types of sacrifices, including a lug, which is a certain liquid quantity of oil. And it says, v'hizo min ha-shemen be'etzbo, there is a sprinkling of oil that's done, uksiv zos tia teras ha-metzora. And the word tia in that pasuk indicates v'chol ha-vaya li-kuva, and that also is an example of seven sprinklings. The Gemara goes on, matan arba minayin, in the source that we cited on Lamed Tesam and Aleph, it also says this, that the four applications on the Mizbeach HaZov, when concerning the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor, those are also all binding, from Minayim, from where do we know that? So, Talmud Lomar, Ken Yaseh. The Pasuk says that, Ken Yaseh. Now, what we have to do is to go back to the original source on Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, and let's just go over the beginning of that source. We're looking at the bottom of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph and reading from the beginning of the framed section, the Osa Kasher Osa, Ma Bo Lilmod. So, the posuk that's found by the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor, the question is raised, what is that posuk coming to teach me? Lichbol Bahaza Osa, it's coming to repeat the Hazos. It means that even though the Hazos were mentioned, they are repeated. The limeid shimchiser achas mikol ha amatonos loosav leklum. This tells me that if you miss any one of the matonos, then you haven't fulfilled your obligation. So at this point, we already have a source for the idea that if you're missing one of the matonos, you haven't fulfilled your obligations. Now, when we speak about the matonos, we're speaking about the seven on the curtain, on the parochas, and we're also talking about the four on the Mizbeach HaZov. So at this point, I would already know that if you're missing any one of those two groups of matnas dam, you haven't fulfilled the obligation. So, why does the source go on to say the following? And if you keep reading there, at the bottom of Lamed Tes, it says, Ein li elo matan sheva, shema'akvois b'chol mokom. I know only the seven, matan daled minayin. From where do I know that the four applications done on the Mizbeach HaZov are also binding? But this question seems to be unnecessary. We just established at the opening of this source that all of the matanos are binding. Why is it necessary to ask about the Matan Dalid? And it goes on to give an answer. It says, Talmud Lomar, Ken Yaseh Lepar. And it goes on, the source goes on. But our Gemara on Daf Mem, in our Shir for today, is asking this question. Mai Shno Matan Zayin Diksivon Be Diksivon Ukfelon. What is different about the seven that are spelled out in the Pasuk, that they are to be done, and ukfilon, and it's the pasuk that says the osa kasher osa, is in effect repeating this idea that the seven must be done. Matan dalid nami ksivon ukfilon. The four that are done on the Mizbeach HaZov are also spelled out and are repeated. Rashi here says matan arba nami ksivon behed ukfilon. The opening posuk to that source, akula milsukoi, is going on everything. Namely, not just the seven on the paroches, but the four on the Mizbeach HaZov. Umehecho tesim utinu. From where would you have thought to exclude them, to suggest that maybe the four are not binding? So the question right now is, what do I need an additional source, namely the expression kein ya'aseh, from Vayikra Perek Dalet Posukhov, to inform me that the four are also binding? So to answer this question, comes along Rav Yirmiyah, Amar Rav Yirmiyah. We have a diamond around his name. And margin, the outside margin of the Gemara, you'll notice we have a topic heading and structural note combined. The Nosei represents the topic, and Mivneh indicates a structural note. And we have the diamond featured. And we have, if you scan ahead on the page, you'll notice, in addition to Rabbi Yirmiyahu, who's labeled as number one, halfway down the page, you'll notice Abaye, also in a diamond, with a number two number to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. So in our note that appears on the outside margin, we explain Deos, these are opinions, Lemi Nitzrach Hadrosha Shel Ken Yaseh. For whom is this special drush of Ken Yaseh necessary? So the Rav Yirmiya answers, Lo Nitzracha, Ela, the Rabbi Shimon. This drosha of Ken Yaseh is needed for Rabbi Shimon. Before we go on in the Gemara, it may be helpful to learn the Rashi as an introduction. Rashi says, Lo Nitzracha Ela Rabbi Shimon, the Omar, Lo Ksiv Behedya Be Elishtayim. According to Rabbi Shimon, the Parsha of Parahelim itself accounts only for two blood applications. Ushtayim Achirs Be'Kesha, the other two, for a total of four, are learned from a comparison. The Haikra Iskush Par Koyin Moshiach Upar Helam Dovar Kidamoran. Le Par Ze Par Koyin Moshiach. In this Pasuk, the Par Helam Dovar is compared to the Par Koyin Moshiach. And the additional two Matnas Dam are derived from that which it says in the context of this other sin offering known as the Par Koyin Moshiach. Hilkoch Ilo Hodar Kaflinu. Therefore, if the Pasuk would not have repeated the necessity of these blood applications, lo havu kfulin, they would in fact not have been fulin. In other words, in the Pasuk of the Par Helam itself, there is no reference to four matanos. Therefore, by simply relying on the opening, the osa, kasher osa, I wouldn't have a doubling of those four matanos. The Gemara continues. Well, the Gemara now brings in the source that contains the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Desanya. Lomalo oimer, Karen Kronos, which equals Shtayim. The Pasuk could have said Karen, meaning the corner of the Mizbeach, and yet it chose to use the word Karen in the plural, Kronos, which the minimum plural is two. So that from the Parsha of Par Koyin Moshiach, I see two corners requiring blood application, two corners of the Mizbeach. Lamata, who Omer, in the case of Par, context of Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor, in that sin offering, Omer Karen Kronos. Arba, the Pasuk, instead of saying Karen, it says Kronos, which accounts for another two, Divrei Rabbi Shimon. And by virtue of the fact that, as Rashi pointed out, that the two korbanos are compared to one another, I'm able to draw the two from one and carry them over to the other, and vice versa, for a total of four matnas dam by the Par Helam and by the Par Koyin Moshiach. So without a special additional drosha in the form of Kein Yaseh, I would not know that the four are ma'akev. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Tzorech. The drusha that Rabbi Shimon just had to account for four matnas dam by the Par Helam, he says you don't need that drusha. Harehu Omer, it says in the case of both of them, be'oyel moyed. In other words, if you look at psukim in Sefer Vayikra, Perek Dalet Posuk Zayin, and Posuk Yudches also in Perek Dalet, you'll see the expression be'oyel moyed. And what do we learn from that? And it's pointed out that that expression of be'oyel moyed is really an extra expression. It's a kroya seira, because the pasuk already says that the blood applications are to be done asher lifnei Hashem on the mizbeach. That's lifnei Hashem. So I already know that it's done on the pasuk. Actually says al karnos mizbeach k'turis samim asher lifnei Hashem asher bo'el moed. So, and that pasuk is quoted in Rashi. So that by telling me that we're talking about blood applications on the Mizbeach, that's Lifnei Hashem, I know Lifnei Hashem indicates something very close to the Holy of Holies. So I know already that you're talking about the Mizbeach that's in the Oyel Moed. So why does it say Oyel Moed in the Pasuk? The answer to that is, as the source goes on, Al Kol Ha'amur Ba'Oyel Moed, namely on all of the corners of that Mizbeach that are in the Oyel Moed. So the idea of four blood applications to the Mizbeach Hazov, according to Rebbe, is derived from the expression Ba'oil Moed. The Gemara now asks, V'Rabbi Yehuda, Kenya Semai Ovidle. This marking that we have under Rebbe Yehuda, we have a squiggle underline. In our marking system, the squiggle underline has multiple purposes. In this Gemara, you'll notice it helps to keep track of the back and forth discussion. Each time the speaker's name is highlighted with this squiggle underline. So at this point, the Gemara is going to ask, what does Rebbe Yehuda do with the Ken Yase, which was explained above as being something needed by Rebbe Shimon? The Ken Yase doubled the four applications and showed me that they are binding, and that was needed for Rebbe Shimon. What does Rebbe Yehuda do with that drasha? Now, later in the Gemara, we'll see a Rebbe Shimon's name squiggle underline, where the Gemara will ask, well, what does Rebbe Shimon do with Rebbe Yehuda's source, namely the Ba'ol Moed expression? And the Gemara will continue with a back and forth between these two shittas. What does each one do with the other one's point? So in the meantime, the Gemara asks, Rebbe Yehuda, Kane Yase Mai Ovidle. If anyone has trouble finding where this quote is coming from, so you can take advantage of the little arrow that we have to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, skim up above to find a corresponding arrow, and you'll see that it comes from the original source, which is quoted here, three lines from the top, but it comes from the source that was on Lamed, began on Lamed Tes of an Aleph. So what does Rebbe Yehuda do with that expression, Kane Yase, which was needed for Rebbe Shimon beforehand? My Ovidle, answer, Mi Boya Le, Lechiditanya. He needs it for the following teaching. This is a Tanaic source. You can see it's in a frame as we frame off all Tanaic sources in our Gemara markings. Lefi Shelo Lomadnu Lepar Yoim HaKipurim Lesmicha Ushiore Adam. When you open up the Torah in the parsha dealing with the cow offering of Yom Kippur, we don't find a reference to the placing of the hands, that smicha, and the shiori adam, and the spilling out on the base of the mizbeach, the remaining blood after the zrikos were done. So minayin, from where do I know that there's a din of smicha and shirayim by the par yom hakipurim? Talmud lomar, kein yaaseh. From the appearance of this expression, Rabbi Yehuda derives that smicha and shirayim are appropriate or are necessary for the par yom hakipurim as well. The Gemara now asks in a tone of wonderment, ulapar yom hakipurim lo lomadnu ho amris lepar ze par yom hakipurim. This is a drasha that we had earlier that. You can see at the very bottom of Lamed Tes Omer Aleph, where the expression Lapar in the Pasuk dealing with the Par Helm Dover Shitzib, where that word Lapar was a reference to the Par Yom HaKippurim. So what do you mean that we didn't learn about its the necessity of these things for it? So the Gemara says, Itzdrich, I need an additional source, namely the Kein Yaseh, to teach me about the Par Yom HaKippurim. Sa'ka Daita Chamino, I would have thought that the original reference to the Par and the claim that Zeh Yom HaKippurim and comparing it to the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor, Hani Mili Avoda Demakfo Kapora. That's with regard to essential activities, processes that are done, procedures that are done with the Par Helam, that without which you would not achieve atonement. So I would think that the Par Yom HaKippurim is compared to the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor only with regard to these type of serious level procedures. Avol, avoda de lo makfo kapara. For example, the smicha and shirayim, that if those are not done, atonement nevertheless could be achieved. Eim olo, I would think that maybe they don't apply to the Par Yom HaKippurim. Komash Malon, that's what I have the additional source, the We said Rabbi Yehuda used Ken Yaseh. Tell me that the Par Yom HaKippurim is compared to the Par Helam Dovah Shasira not only with regard to the blood applications that are Ma'akev Kapora, but even with regard to things that are not Ma'akev Kapora, including the Smicha and the Shirayim. Rabbi Shimon, Hai Boel Moed Mai Ovid Lei. What does Rabbi Shimon do with the expression of Oil Moed? And we have an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. If you have any trouble finding where this is coming from, you skim up and you'll find another parallel arrow on that line that was pointing to where Rabbi Yehuda was speaking, where he learned the four applications for the Par Helam from the expression Ba'oil Moyed. So what is Rabbi Shimon, who did not learn the four from that, but rather he learned the four applications from a hekish between Par Helam and Par Koyin Moshiach? So what does Rabbi Shimon do with Rabbi Yehuda's source? Miboyale, he needs it for the following teaching. She'im nifchasa tikroshol hechal lo hoya mazeh. If the roof of the Beis HaMikdash hechal would have caved in, then there would be no blood applications. Maze is the sprinkling of the blood. And this he derives from the fact that the Torah refers to it as oil moyed. And oil is a structure that has a covering to it. So if the covering is not intact, so the procedure has to come to a halt. It's not done. V'idach, Rabbi Yehuda, where does he learn that halacha of if there's nifchaso tikra shel hecha, there's no hazo? Me'asher. He learns it from that word. The idach Rabbi Shimon, asher lo dorish. He doesn't see anything special from the word asher to derive a drosha from it. Therefore, he uses the expression oil moed for that particular point of im nifresa tikra shel hechal. Abaye Omar. Now, Abaye is number two. What is his role? So, if we refer back to our note on the outside margin, we're dealing with the issue of who needs the drasha of Kein Yaseh so as to teach me about the four matnos dam of the Par Helam in the on the Mizbech HaZov that they're Ma'akev. After all, we already said that we know thing that these matnos dam are Ma'akev from the opening where it says V'osa Kasher Osa. So the first approach was that of Rabbi Yirmiyah, who said, I need the extra drasha, the special drasha of Kein Yaseh of Lefi Rabbi Shimon. Abaye Omar. Abaye has a different take than Rabbi Yirmiyah. He says, Rabbi Yehuda Nami Itzterich. I need the Kein Yaseh for the Matan Dalid according to Rabbi Yehuda as well. Why do I need this special drasha? Sakodai Techamina Midi Dehavei Asmicha Ushiori Hadam Deafagav Deksivan Ukfeilon Lo Ma'akfa. I might have thought that that there are other things that we know that are written and repeated, and still they're not ma'akev. For example, the smicha, the placing of hands on the korban, and the shirayim, they are written and repeated, and yet they're not ma'akev. They're not binding. Matan arba nami lo te'akev. So by the same score, I would think maybe the matan dalid is also not ma'akev. Therefore, the Kein Yaseh comes to hammer home the point that these, the four on the Mizbech HaZov, are Ma'akev, that if you miss any of them, you don't achieve atonement. Omar Mar, Lapar, Ze Par Yom HaKippurim. This is a quote from the source that we saw in Lamed Tes, Amud Aleph. In order to help you find where this is coming from, you note on the outside, the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, a double star with a note, Lamed Tes, Amud Aleph. If you can glance back to Lamed Tes, Amud Aleph, and skim down the page and find a double star to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, you'll find such a note at the bottom line of Lamed Tes, Amud Aleph. And there it said, Lapar, ze par, it said Kein Yaseh Lapar, ze, or more accurately, there it says Tamud Lomar Kein Yaseh, and then Lapar is a separate drasha, ze par Yom HaKippurim. The Gemara now asks, Lamai Hilchisa, the reference made in the context of the Par Hilam Dovashel Tzibor, a reference made to the Par Yom HaKippurim, what is the necessity, or what am I deriving from this hekish of the comparison of the Par Yom HaKippurim to the Par Hilam and to the Par Kohen Moshiach? Lamai Hilchisa. Now, we made reference just now to the Par Kohen Moshiach, because in that drosha, we also deal with the Par Kohen Moshiach. So for what purpose is the Par Yom HaKippurim compared to them? L'mai hilchisa. E la'akev, if it's to tell me that the matnos dam that you are to do by the Par Yom HaKippurim are binding, pshita chuka ksiv obey, the word chuka appears in the context of Yom Kippur, and the word chuka as a rule indicates that whatever is stated in that particular context, when you see the word chukah, chukah is like a stamp on it telling me, this, you should know, is binding. So I don't need to compare the Par Yom HaKippurim to the Par Helem Dover to convey that idea. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok. We have a marking around his name, a house form, to the immediate, to the, we should say the outside margin, you see the Nosei Mivne heading. You see a house form featured. Tshuvos, these will be answers. La Shela, Loma Hukash Parim Kippurim, the Par Helam Dover, the Par Kohen Moshiach. For what purpose is the Par Yom Kippur compared to the Par Helam Dover and the Par Kohen Moshiach? So we have Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok offers an answer to that. And you'll notice at the toward the bottom of the page, Rav Papa also offers an answer to that question. So, Omar Rav Nachman Bitzuk, lo nitzrcha, the lapar, elo le Rebbe Yehuda. We need it for Rebbe Yehuda's teaching. Well, let's see what Rebbe Yehuda says, and we'll then find out why it's important to have a special reference to the Par Yom Kippur over here. So, Rebbe Yehuda said to Omar, ki ksiva chuka, Rebbe Yehuda says that the term chuka that appears in the parsha dealing with Yom Kippur itself is not across the boards. It's advarim hanasim bebigdei lavon bifnim. It's a reference to the procedures that are done bifnim. Bifnim is a tricky word. In this case, it means in the Kodesh HaKodoshim. As you may very well know, on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, in addition to the general Beis HaMikdash service, he also entered the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh HaKodoshim, and did certain avodas over there, which included matnas dam, blood application, blood sprinklings, and incense offering between the poles of the Aron HaKodesh, the Holy Ark. Rav Yehuda says that the word chukah, which is an expression, as we mentioned a couple minutes ago, that indicates something is binding, that applies only to the procedures that are done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. She'im hiktim ma'isa l'chavera lo'osav lo'klum. It is so binding, we may say, or it's so, one must be so careful there that even if you change the order of the procedures, you have the blood applications and the incense, if you change the order of what the Torah dictates, you have not fulfilled your requirement. Aval Dvorim hanasim the big day lovan bachutz, those activities that are done while the Kohen Gadol is wearing the big day lovan, we should have mentioned that a moment before. This is a reference to the four white clothing, special white clothing that the Kohen Gadol, who ordinarily wears eight garments, they're known as the big days of. When it comes to the Yom Kippur service, part of the Yom Kippur service, primarily that which is done in the Kodesh HaKodashim, and done in the Heichal, the blood applications that are done in the Heichal are with four white clothing. So that's the reference here to Big Day Lavan. So Rabbi Yehuda tells us that the things, the procedures that are done in the Heichal, namely in the section, right, it's in the enclosed area of the Beis HaMikdash, but not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's in the area where the golden altar is, where the Mizbeach HaZov is located. Those activities that are done, although he's wearing the white Yom Kippur garments, hiktim ma'isa l'chavero, there if you change the order of what is done, and what's done there are the matnas dam of the par and the soyer, the cow blood and the goat offering blood and the that are on the curtain, and there's also on the Mizbeach. There, Hikdim Maisa L'Chaver Ma'ashotza Osui. There, if you change the order, then it's okay. It's still okay. So, Amo, I might have thought, Mi Dikis Sidron Lomafi, from the fact that the order is not binding, Hazois Nami Lomafi. Maybe the number of sprinklings is also not binding, and therefore you could afford to miss one of them. And we're talking about the Par Yom HaKippurim. Komash Malon, therefore the Hekish, the comparison that we had, the issue of the Drosh of Lapar, what do I need the Lapar to be compared to the Par? Helam Dovar, it is for this purpose, to tell me that don't be fooled. Don't think that just because the order of applications are not binding, that the number also is not binding. Therefore, the expression of Lapar comes to tell me that the number, we are not going to compromise on the number of sprinklings that one does in the Heichal. With regard to the Par Yom HaKippurim. The Gemara asks a question now. This question lasts several lines, and that's indicated by our long question marking. There's a little kuf you can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line indicating a question. Kuf is a kushya. Maskif lo rapopo. Umi motzis amris hochi. Can you really say that Rabbi Yehuda learns ikuva from over here? We just mentioned that the number of sprinklings are me'akev for the par Yom HaKippurim, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, and that is learned from the word lapar. So we're asking, does he really learn that idea that the number of sprinklings is binding from lapar? He has another source, v'ha tanya. We have the following source. This is a pasuk. We're opening up with a pasuk. The first speaker in this source will be Rabbi Kiva, and then we'll be primarily interested in Rabbi Yehuda's response to this. Rabbi Yehuda appears a couple lines from here. You can see his name is highlighted, underlined. This pasuk is called a Kroy Yisera. It's an extra pasuk, therefore it's available for a drasha. And the pasuk is coming from the Yom Kippur service. It's in Vayikra, Perek, Tezayin, and it says, V'chila mikaper es hakodesh. Im kiper, if he does the matan zayin and the matan dalid, the seven sprinklings on the curtain and the four on the mizbeach, that's im kiper. Kiper is a reference to the blood applications, the seven and the four we just mentioned. Kila, then he's finished what he has to do, and even though he didn't spill the balance of the blood, the shirayim, on the base of the outside mizbeach, the mizbeach in the courtyard. Vim lo kiper, however, if he doesn't do the seven and four blood applications, lo kila, then he hasn't finished what he needs to do. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. In simple terms, Rabbi Akiva holds that the shirayim are not me'akev. Omar le Rabbi Yehuda. Mitnei ma lo nomar, or there's a girsa Rashi has nidrosh. Why not darshan the posuk in the order in the order that the words appear? As follows: im kila kiper, which would mean if you do everything. Kila means to finish off. Means if you finish off the whole job, including the shvichas shirayim, then kiper, then you achieve the atonement. Vim lo kila, if you don't do everything. Namely, you don't do the shirayim as well, lo kiper, then you don't achieve atonement. So from over here you can see, from this pasuk, v'chila mikaper es hakodesh, you can see that Rabbi Yehuda learns that all of these applications are ma'akev. In other words, then, what do I need lapar for? By the way, we didn't spend any time on Rabbi Kiva's drasha, but you noticed, with regard to Rabbi Yehuda's drasha, we were following the order of the words to come to his conclusion. V'chila was the first word in this particular pasuk. If you finish, then you get kapara. Now, what did Rabbi Akiva do? Rabbi Akiva darshan the pasuk out of order. He said, if you do the kiper, which was a second word, then kila, then you've accomplished what you're supposed to do. That's just a side point for as far as our discussion is concerned. But we're focusing on Rabbi Yehuda. The question right now is, why do you say that lapar is needed for Rabbi Yehuda, with regard to the Matnas Dam of the Par Yom Kippurim as being Ma'akev when reviewed as a separate drosha for that purpose. Elo Omar Rav Popa. Loi Nitzrucha. Elo Le'es Dam U Betvila. These are words that are just codes. They don't mean anything in and of themselves. The Gemara will explain each one of these words momentarily. The words Es, Dam, and Tvila. That's a reference to three separate halachas. Let's elaborate a little bit before we explain those. First of all, Rav Papa comes to say, the Hekesh of the Par Yom Kippur to the Par Helam is needed for these three halachas. In other words, as far as the matnas dam are concerned, the blood applications, the number of blood applications are concerned, with regard to the par, Yom HaKippurim, that I learn from La Par. As far as what, that I learn, let's correct ourselves, that I learn from V'chila Mikaperes HaKodesh. That's, from that we learn that the blood applications are Ma'akev. What do I need an additional hekish for of the Par Yom Kippurim to the Par Helam Dovar that we learn from the presence of the word Lapar in the Brisa that was featured on Daf Lamites? So that I need for these three halachas. What are these three halachas? So we will see them very shortly. We've highlighted the code words S, Dam, and Tvila with triangles. So the first word you can see that follows is S, and the Gemara will explain what that's a reference to. And on the top of Omid Beis, on the second line as well, you see Badam, and then you see Vitoval. The words that we're dealing with are emphasized with this marking. Let us glance at a Rashi toward the bottom of the page. Lo nitzrucha, hai demakish par Yom Kippurim lepar helam davar ulepar koin Mashiach. The comparison of the par Yom Kippur to these two other korbanos, these two other sin offerings, the par helam and the par koin Mashiach. Rashi goes on. Elo le'es bedam utvila de bepar koin Mashiach ksiv. In the case of the sin offering known as the par koin Mashiach, it says v'toval HaKoyen Es Etzboi Badam. In this Pasuk, we have the three words that we're going to be focusing on. The word Es, you can see, and the word Dam, and the word Vitoval is Tevila. The Gemara explains now. S, what is that a reference to? Omar of Acha Bar Yankov, Lo Nitzrucha Elo Vahachshir Amin Sheva Etzba. This is telling me that a finger, Amin, in Hebrew there's an expression, there's a word that's used to translate this as Shalfuchis. It may be a reference to something along the lines of an inflammation, where the finger is inflamed. That if the Rashi says here as lahashir amen sheba etzba, Rashi is the upper quarter of the narrow lines or upper third of the narrow lines in the Rashi. He says sheim also loy beetzba shekorin that. That's a French word. Kemo nitlo ha'em. If some type of growth or inflammation appears, then it's lo havio chatzitza. It's not considered an interposition. This rabbi mi es etzbo. It's learned from the word es combined with etzbo, which means es hatofel etzbo. So that if it's something like an inflammation or a water blister that forms on the finger, he is still able to do the avoda immerse his finger in the blood that he has to sprinkle. And it's not considered a chatzitza. It's not considered an interposition. Badom, the pasuk we mentioned was v'toval hakoyin es etzbo badam shiehe badam shiur tvila meikora. That when he does the kabbalas adam, at the point he does kabbalas adam, he must be sure that there is enough dam to immerse his finger in the blood. Let's take a look at Rashi. Badam, Shei, Badam, Shiur Tvila Meikora. Garsinon, that's the text that we have. Mishas Kabbalah Rishona, from the initial receipt of the blood after the slaughtering, there must be enough blood in the receptacle, receiving kli, for the immersion of his finger. Limute kibel pochos mikde tvilas etzba beklize, pochos mikde tvilas etzba beklize v'irvan. To the exclusion of a scenario where he would use two vessels in which to receive the blood, less than the shear in one and less than the shear in the other, and then pour one into the other. That would not be acceptable. Turning back to the Gemara, Vitoval tells me, Velo misapeg, and not to wipe off the side of the vessel, not to wipe off the blood from the inside walls of the vessel, but rather the Pusik is insisting that he immerses his finger in the blood, and as opposed to wiping off the blood from the side of the vessel in order to accumulate the blood for the sprinkling. The itzrich lemichtav v'toval, the itzrich lemichtav badam. And it's necessary to write both of these expressions and not to think that I can learn one idea from the other. Di kosav rachmona v'toval, if the Torah would have written just v'toval and not the word badom, havi amino, I would have thought, afagav deleko shiur tvilo meikora, that even if the initial receipt of the dam was less than the required amount, that maybe wouldn't be a problem. So what if you accumulate in one vessel a less than sufficient amount, and in a second vessel a less than sufficient amount, and then pour one into the other? Now I have enough blood for the immersion of the finger. Therefore, kosav rachmona badom. Therefore, the Torah wrote, don't do it that way, but rather badom means it's the ba dom, in the blood. In other words, he immerses his finger in the blood. The vowelization under the base of the patach indicates the blood. What does that mean? The blood that was accumulated, the correct amount that was accumulated or that was gathered received initially. The e kosav rachmona ba dom, and had the Torah written just the word ba dom, havamina afilu misapeg, I would have thought that, okay, so he received the required amount in the vessel, but as far as the actual contact between the finger and the blood, he could accomplish that even by wiping it off the inside walls of the vessel. Kosav rachmona v'toval. Therefore, the Torah wrote that he must immerse his finger as well. In other words, as well as in addition to the kli holding the right amount of blood, the method of getting the blood onto the finger must be through immersing the finger into the blood and not wiping off blood from the sides of the vessel. The Gemara now asks, what am I to darshan from this expression, Mizbach k'teres asamim, lomali? But you might ask, why is the Gemara asking about this expression? Where are we coming from? So for that, we look at the Rashi. Rashi says, Mizbach k'teres asam lomali, hashto de darshis asher boel moyed. We darshaned in the posuk of Vayikra Dalet, posuk Zayin, we darshaned the expression of asher boel moyed, and we said, al kol ha'omor v'chulei. This drasha we saw already in the Gemara. Mizbach, just to remind ourselves of where we saw it, on Omid Aleph, eight lines from the top, you saw Rabbi Yehuda used this drasha, the Pasuk, Vayikra Dalet, Pasuk Zayin, and it's also in Pasuk Yudches, the expression Bo Moed, and he said, from there I know that that one must do the blood applications on all four corners of the Mizbeach. That was Rabbi Yehuda's drasha from the expression Be'oil Moed. So since we're darshaning that Pasuk, what about this other expression in the Pasuk, namely Mizbach Teres Hasamim? The Rashi points out the reason we're asking about this is that this is really an extra expression, because the Pasuk already says Asher Lifnei Hashem. And we have included the Pasuk on the inside margin where it says V'nosan HaKoyin Min Adam Al Karnois Mizbach K'teres HaSamim Lifnei Hashem Asher Bo'el Moyed. But when you look at this pasuk, it could have, if the pasuk is trying to convey the idea that there is blood applications on the golden altar, it would have been sufficient to write Venosan Hakoin Minadam Al Karnois Hamizbeach Asher Lifnei Hashem. Why do you have to add the fact that it's the Mizbach Teres Hasamim? By the fact that it says already Lifnei Hashem, I know we're talking about the golden altar. So the Gemara answers, She'im loy nischanach Mizbach b'Teres Hasamim lo hoyamaze. If you have a situation where, let us say, he has the par helam dover shel tzibur, he has the blood, and he wants to apply it to the Mizbeach. If this is, for some reason, they have a brand new Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach was not used yet for the incense, for the Keteris HaSamim, then he will not apply the blood of the par helam to such a Mizbeach. In other words, the first use of the Mizbeach, let us say, cannot be the blood of the par helam. It would have to have been used already for the offering of the incense, of the Keteris HaSamim. So that's learned from the fact that the Torah emphasizes that it's the Mizbeach of Keteris HaSamim. Tanya Kavosei de Rav Papa. We have a source to in which we can see a Tanaic basis for Rav Papa's teaching that the Hekish of the Par Yom HaKippurim to the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur and the Par Kol Mashiach was for the dinim that we refer to cryptically maybe as Es, Bedam, Utvila. We know what they are now, but for the sake of brevity, we can refer to those as three halachas, Es, Bedam, and Utvila. So, Tanya Kavasi de Rav Papa, the Asa Kasher Asa. This is the pasuk that we saw from the Par Helam. Ma Tamal Omer LaPar. In that pasuk we had that word appear. La Rabois Par Yom HaKippurim L'chol Ma She'omur Be'inyan Divrei Rebbe. To include the Par Yom Kippur to everything that is stated in this topic, in the topic of the Par Helam Dover and the Par Koyin Moshiach. And when we say that, and here is the main thing is that which we've written in between the lines. We say everything that's written in the topic, it includes Es, Bedam, and Tevila. Om Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel has a different take on things. He says you don't need the Pasuk in order to bring in Par Yom Kippur to this discussion. He says, Kal v'chomer. I could figure out the way we relate to the Par Yom Kippur through a Kal v'chomer. And what is the Kal v'chomer? It's as follows. Let us point out as we go on, though, that some of the aspects of this Kal v'chomer will be explained later in the Gemara as we go on. So if some of the things we leave a little vague initially, that's because we're relying on the Hemshech of the Gemara, the continuation of the Gemara. Before we read on in the Gemara, we can just glance off to the side, the outside margin. You see we have a topic heading, the Nosei, Shitas Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel's Shita is that Bali Posuk, without a special Posuk, Nuchal Ladas Ayadei Kavachomer, Diyesh Lepar Yom Kippur, Adinim Shel Es Vitoval and Vidam. Even without a special Posuk, rather through a Kavachomer, I can derive that the Par Yom Kippur has these three halachas. Here is the Kal v'chomer. Uma b'mokoim shelo hushva korban l'korban, hishva maisim l'maisim. Mind you, in a case where you have two korbanos that are not like one another, yet their procedures are like one another, mokoim shehishva korban l'korban. Here we can be a little more specific. In a case where we have the par yom kippur is like the par helam, they're both cows. Eino din shiyashve maisa lemaisa, then all the more so we should compare one to the other with regard to the procedures. We have a little double star in the middle of the Rashi that you find in the wider lines under the Gemara, and if we just read that phrase, Eino din, where you see the double star in the Rashi, Eino din, once we've established that where korbanos are different, they have the same procedure. Where the korbanos are the same, in other words, the type of animals are the same, then they certainly should have the same procedures. Eino din, Rashi says, Eino din shehei avodosam shavos la'avodos shehitzrich hakosuv l'shnehem, then it's certainly the avodos, the procedures that the scripture requires for both of them should be the same. Kagon hazol shebehechol v'shebem mizbeach shiu maase avodoseim shavin le'es bedam utvila, that they're just like they have blood applications in the heichal and on the, namely on the curtain and on the mizbeach hazov, and also that they should be the same with regard to the dinim alluded to before by the terms es bedam utvila. The source goes on, elo ma tamud lomar lapar. So the question then is well, what according to Rabbi Shmuel, what does lapar do? Ze par helum dover shel tzibur. On Daf Mem Aleph, the Gemara is going to ask, what in the world do you need this word to serve as a reference to Par Helem Dover Shel Tzibur when the Pasuk is found in the topic of Par Helem Dover Shel Tzibur? It's as if when you say that the special word Lapar is a reference to something, ordinarily it's a reference to something outside of the context. But we're in the middle of this of a parsha dealing with the parallel of Josephus. What do we need a special reference to it? We're in the midst of it. Anyway, that will be a question that the Gemara will ask on Daf Mem Aleph. In the meantime, let's play along. It says there lapar, and we're saying that that's a reference to parallel of Josephus. Lapar, and the pasuk actually says vasa lapar kasher osa lapar. So the second lapar is ze par koyein Moshiach. And this is telling me that it will be possible if it's missing one of the required blood applications. Rashi points out that in the case of the Parakui Moshiach, the doubling of the blood application stated it was not stated in a double fashion, the blood applications by the Parakui Moshiach. Hence, I have, in effect, the doubling of it by the repeat or the extra expression of Lapar as a reference to the Parakui Moshiach. So, in addition to its own parsha, the parsha in the Torah in Vayikra dealing with the Parakui Moshiach, where there is a reference to the blood applications, but it's not repeated. So, if I wouldn't have this drasha, I wouldn't know that if you miss one of them, that you will not have fulfilled your obligation. Omar Mar. Now the Gemara goes over the Kavuchomer, trying to, we'll say, fit in the missing pieces. In other words, what was being referred to when it said, when it spoke about a situation where the korbanos are not the same, and yet the procedures are the same. Omar Mar, Uma b'mokim shelo hushva korban l'korban. My lo hushva korban the korban. What was meant by the situation that the korbanos are not the same? And whatever it was, don't forget, we're making a kal v'chomer from whatever that situation was to the situation of where the korbanos are the same. And that was the case of the par Yom Kippurim and the par Helem Dover Shel Tzibur. They were both cows. So what is the situation where the korbanos are different from which we are making a kal v'chomer? We're going to be using a marking here, a volcano form or a trapezoid. You see on the side under the Mivneh heading, you can see this form appearing. So with the narrow part facing up, these are hatsos, suggestions, lahasbir kal v'chomer shel Rabbi Shmuel, to explain what his kal v'chomer was, and the inverted form of this shape will be the chiyus, will be rejections of whatever is said. So, I lema par Yom HaKippurim v'so'ir Yom HaKippurim, that the case referred to in his Kal V'chomer was the case of the different korbanos where the procedures are the same. So if you'll tell me that's a reference to the cow offering of Yom Kippur and the soyer and the goat offering of Yom Kippur, and that from that I'm going to make a kal v'chomer to the case of par Yom Kippurim and the par Helem Dover Shel Tzibur, so ikal lemifrach, you would be able to reject that kal v'chomer as follows: ma lahanoch, how can you compare to these, namely the par and the soyer of Yom Kippur, shekein nichnas domam lifnei lifnim, their blood goes into the inner sanctum, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Therefore, I understand that the procedures that are done by them should be the same. Should be the same as one another. Now, that's not the case of other korbanos. For example, the par helam davar doesn't go into the inner sanctum. Elo, par helam davar shel tzibur, usiire avodas kochavim. Maybe the situation referred to of where Rabbi Yishmael said in a case where the korbanos are not the same. Here you have a cow and a goat. The cow being a reference to the par helam davar shel tzibur, whose blood does not go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the siire avodas kochavim, and we know about them that they have common maisim. They have common maisim. It doesn't mean that they are exactly the same, but that which they have in common, they have in common. And so from that, I want to make a kal v'chomer. Well, ikol mifrach, you wouldn't be able to make a kal v'chomer from that. Ma lahanoch, the par helam dover shitzibor and the sirei avodas kochavim shekein mechaprim al averos mitzvah yedua. They are coming, the par helam is coming as a result of the court having made a mistake, and I know the mistake that they made, and they've now discovered the mistake. And the sirei avodah zarah, that's an offering, it's a sin offering because of idolatry. Without getting into details right now, but suffice it to say that it's clear why those two korbanos are brought, the par helam davar shel tzibor and the sirei avodas kochavim. That's as opposed to the par yom hakippurim, which is brought for what's called averus mitzvah she'ein yadua. It's coming to atone for, the par yom hakippurim is coming to atone for problems of tumas mikdash v'kodoshav that were not known to the offender. If we look in the Rashi, we'll find that toward the bottom of the page, Shekein Shneim Mechaprim Al Averus Mitzvah Yadua. The Fikach, since they are coming to compare for definitive offenses, the Fikach Hushvu Masam. Therefore, the Torah compares or says that they both have the same procedures. Toimar Sheyushvu Maisa Par Helim Umaisa Par Yom Kippurim. Should I say that the Par Yom Kippur should be compared to the Par Helam? Shekein lo hushvu bekaporosan. They don't have the same. They don't have similar atonement roles. Shezem mechaper al averas mitzvah she'eno yedua. Vezem mechaper al yedua. The Par Helam comes for a known mitzvah, a known offense, namely the mistake that the court made. They know which mistake they made, whereas the Par Yom Kippur is coming for the unknown. Kedomar Rashi goes on. Kedomar Shuas al sheyesh bo yadia b'tchila vein bo yadia lebesof. She kishenitma yada shenitma v'neilma mimenu tuma v'nechlas lekodesh shuv lo noda lo kinisaso. Soyer nasi b'fnim al Yisrael upar al kohanim toila achi vodalo v'yavi ba'ula v'yoreh. To summarize what Rashi just said, as opposed to the par helam davar shel tzibur, which comes to mechaper for a known offense, the par yom kippur comes to take care to atone for a situation where someone had become tomei. He knew he had become tomei, but he forgot that he became tomei, entered the Beis HaMikdash or ate a korban, and then for the meantime did not discover that he had committed an offense. So you have a situation of an offense committed without yedia, without knowledge of it. So that I don't know under such circumstances, how in the world can you say that the par yom kippurim should be compared to the par helam davar? So far we don't have even a starting point for the kal v'chomer that Rabbi Shmuel made. Ella, this would be then, if we were trying to keep track of these attempts, this will be the third stage. Ella, par helam dover shel tzibur, v'soyer shel yom hakippurim. Here we have two animals. They are different. One's a par and one's a sar. We should have pointed out, even though it may be obvious to marking enthusiasts, you notice the dashed underline is featuring the type of korban to bring out to the fact that these are two different animals. This is the beginning of the Kal Vachomer, of where we said, where, mind you, in a place where the korbanos are not the same, yet their maisim are the same. So what are the korbanos that are not the same? Well, on the one side, you've got the parhelim at this, we're dealing with the third stage right now, the parhelim. It's a cow. And that's coming, by the way, for a known offense. And you have the soyer shel Yom Kippurim, the goat, it's different than a cow, the goat of Yom Kippur, which is coming for an unknown offense. That's the case of the forgotten tumah, and then entering the Beis HaMikdash. The Hochi Komar. And now we're going to, the Gemara rereads the Kal Vachomer with this information. Uma b'mokim shlo hushvu korban l'korban. Mind you, in a place where the korbanos are not the same. And just a little note by way of the markings, we scribble underline the word b'mokim here so that you can compare it or contrast it with the next time the word appears, the second line from the bottom. These are the two halves or the two parts of the Kal Vachomer. So the starting point we've squiggled on with Uma B'mokom, in a case where the korbanos are not the same, where we say the high par of the high soyer, one is a par, the par helim, and the other is a goat, the soyer of Yom Kippur, and nevertheless, the, even though they're different by way of the type of animal, hushvu ma'isim lema'isim lema'i dekosav behu, they are similar. They have this similarity as far as procedures, regarding those procedures that are written by both of them. And that includes, even though the Surah Yom Kippurim has additional things that the par doesn't have, nevertheless they have certain things that overlap, namely applications on the blood sprinkling on the parochas and on the Mizbeach Hazov. So here you have different korbanos, and yet they are treated the same with regard to those things that are stated by them. Mokoim shehushvu korban l'korban, the high par v'high par, in a place where they are the same type of animal, the par helam and the par Yom Kippurim. Eino din shehushvu maisim l'maisim, then all the more so they should be, all the more so they are compared, or they will have the same maisim. V'asa lei par Yom Kippurim le'es b'dam utvila. And the par Yom Kippurim will therefore be will therefore have as part of its rules the dinim that were referred to before as es b'dam utvila, and that's derived from mi par koyin Moshiach. Par Koyin Moshiach, we didn't emphasize this before, but Rashi mentioned that the halachas of Es V'dam Utvila were found in the case of the Par Koyin Moshiach. So the din of Es V'dam Utvila as regards the Par Yom Kippurim are derived from the Kal Vachomer that we just mentioned, which is a Kal Vachomer from the par Koyin Moshiach. The osi lei soir Yom HaKippurim nami mi seire avodes kechovim mi Kal Vachomer. And the halachas that regard the seire avodes kechovim, this is the goat offering in the event that the public violated idolatry, that the way to deal with them, the procedures that are required for that, are derived also from a Kal Vachomer. The Seirei of Yom Kippurim are also derived from a Kal Vachomer from the Seirei of Avodes Kochavim. The Gemara asks, as far as this limud is concerned, how can we actually do this? We have a lot of things that one is derived from another through different methods of called oral tradition. But when you're in the realm of kodshim, when you're in the realm of korbanos, some of these methods are limited. If we continue in the Gemara, you'll see it raises this question: the chidavra halomei behekish. Can it be that something that's learned through a hekish
Ekesh is a comparison. Now, let us point out that the Si'irei Avodah Zorah was learned from a Hekesh to the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor. How can it be that the Si'irei Avodah Kechovim, which itself was derived, how can it choizer umalami b'kavachomer? How can it turn around and teach me about the Si'irei Yom HaKippurim through a kavachomer? And but that's what we just suggested. Before we go on, if we look at our little chart on the inside margin, you notice the Parhelim would teach concerning the Si'irei Avodah Zorah through a Hekesh. That's stage one. And then the Si'irei Avodah Zorah, which is already a piece of derivative information, is turning around and teaching me through a Kal Vachomer to the Si'irei Yom HaKippurim. That is a problematic approach, to use something that is itself a derivative, namely the Si'irei Avodah Zorah, and use it. It should then turn around and become a source of information for something else. That's what's contained in this question of a chidover halomi behekish, chozer umlami bekal vachomer. So Amar Rapapa answers, kosavar tana debei Rabbi Shmuel, dover halomi behekish, chozer umlami bekal vachomer. The Tanaic school of Rabbi Shmuel holds that such a limud is allowed, even though we're in the realm of kochim, and this situation of a derivative turning into a source, that can be done provided it's this particular method. The thing that's that item which is derived through a hekesh does have the power to turn around and be a source for something else that I will learn derive from it through a kal vachomer. At this point in the Gemara, though, we're not going to delve into all the different possible combinations of double stage limuds, double stage expansions or expositions. That is the topic of the beginning of the fifth perek of this Masechet. There will be a very elaborate discussion concerning this issue of under what circumstances can derivative pieces of information turn around and be sources for something else. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.